tell me whatever it is you want, I give it to you. Anything. The guy said, number one, I'm currently situated in the north. That's where he was regional sales manager. So I want to come back to Lagos. The man said, done. Any other thing? Yes, this is a position I want. And I return. I'm not returning to the same position I was up there. I want the next level higher than I have right now. The man said, you see, the problem with that is that that level is not vacant. So let's arrange something. I will pay you the wages of that level, but please take this other level. He said, because I don't want problem in the company. So this is what I'm going to do. I will calculate the difference, pay you up at the beginning. So this is the, you are supposed to earn this amount at this level. This is the level you want. The difference between this level and that, I pay it to you at the beginning. Then subsequently be inside like everybody else. Nobody will know. So the day he came to tell me the gist. I was in Lagos then. He said, so Banky, I'm back. Do you get my point? That's what it means to be what? A blessing. And I can give you plenty of his testimonies. Then it's with, those sales he used to make was not by strength. It's a prophecy. He used to use prayer to collect his money from people who are owing. In the name of Jesus Christ, I go out today, favor will follow me. Those who are owing, suddenly they will have money and they'll be willing to release it. That's how he used to go. I know the grace is what God does for you because you prayed. The opposite of grace is the one you earned because you worked very hard. Which every sinner will earn if he works very hard. Unless he commits a special sin that he's been punished for. But an average sinner gets an average amount of reward for an average amount of hard work. Are you getting my point? This is what I'm doing. We are changing what? Our thinking pattern. So when God sees you, he doesn't see somebody who's begging. See somebody who... No, I told you that on Saturday, if you, Tuesday, if you're not around, please go and listen to the message. Please, if you're not around. It was supposed to be a prayer meeting, but I ended up doing talking most of the time. Listen to the message. I told you then, you see, that's why in life, don't go and walk where you are not learning anything or you are not blessing somebody actively. If all they are doing is paying you money. No matter how big the money is, find another job. Just the scheme, begin scheme now. You look at you go to work in the morning, even you feel like a non-entity, you know, this kind of thing. You feel it. You are sick for 1 week, nobody noticed. They still pay you $1 million. I'm not saying they didn't pay you $1 million, but one whole week they didn't notice. Just know you are not important in that place. Either because you're not, no, and it's not because you're not working hard, because if that was the issue, they would have sacked you. They've given you a job to cap your destiny. Don't take it. Go and listen to the message, you're not here, all right? Now, so what God sees is what? A blessing. When God looks at you, he sees what? A blessing. Your body was created because he wanted to throw something into the earth. Now today, what I want to talk about is the fact that when God sees you, he sees a man, a woman of authority. That's what I want to emphasize. Quickly, Genesis chapter 1. Let me quickly get into that. I'll read from verse 27. Well, let's start from verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. 27, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And he blessed them. And God said to them, that this is how he blessed them. Please notice this. How did he bless them? He said to them. He said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And fill the earth and subdue it. And rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. That is, what God ordained was for the man to have what? Dominion. What God ordained was that this man should rule over everything. If you're around on Tuesday, you know we read from Genesis chapter 13. We won't read it now, but you can refer to it, the story of Lot and Abram. Abram and Lot were very prosperous. And for that reason, the clashes began between their headsmen. So they had to separate. And he said to Lot, take anywhere you want. And Lot took the land that looked very nice to the eyes. Please, we'll discuss that in detail on Tuesday, all right? So go and listen to the message. He looked, looked at the land that looked very nice to the eyes, and he came towards that area. But God came and spoke to Abraham that forget what Lot took. Just look around everywhere, including what Lot took. What am I saying? Abraham was willing to take what did not look prosperous simply because he had a blessing. Are you getting my point? Because he had a blessing. He knew that no matter where I will go, see, I left where I was because of the word from God. That word blessed me because he said, come, follow me. I will take you to a land and I will bless you. Are you getting my point? And that's how come I'm being blessed today. I'm talking about being the head and not the tail. That when God sees you, he sees a person of authority. Please, follow what I'm going to explain. I say this to us all the time. That when we talk about the head and not the tail, there's what the Bible calls double-mindedness. What is double-mindedness? First, let's establish a double-minded man does not receive anything from the hand of God. You know that. You understand that. So what is double-mindedness? It's to say one thing, claim that's what you believe, but behave in another way. Double-mindedness is not just the fact that you can't make up your mind on what you want. Double-mindedness is that you say, I am the head, but you behave actively like a tail. That's double-mindedness. My practical and I think most important example is life. The way we relate with life, you know, where we how we make money, how we make our living and all of that. Now, this is the head. We claim we are the head, all right? And like I say all the time, this is how you know a tail. Have you ever seen a tail wagging a dog? No. When the dog is standing still, the one that moves up and down is the tail. Are you getting my point? That's the way life is. You've seen cow chopping, eating grass. You see the tail, bam, they chase the fly up and down. The tail is moving. The thing that moves anyhow is the tail. This is how heads behave. Heads, they look, they think. Christian heads, they reason according to the blessedness inside them. What is a tail? A tail responds to every increase in salary across the next company. A tail, it changes business every day once it's making some extra money. That's a tail. A tail does not have a sense of purpose, does not have a sense of ministry, does not have a sense of assignment, does not have a sense of commitment, does not understand anything more than this one pays more. That's a tail. If the jobs in Malawi are good, he's on the queue looking for visa to Malawi. If he hears that he's in Libya, he's in Libya. Then when they start bombing Benghazi, he's out of Libya. He's somewhere else. Heads move. I'm not saying heads never move, but they don't move anyhow. Heads reason. Are you getting my point? They think, they make the decisions. They know, listen, that they are the ones in charge. Go and read Matthew chapter 5. Jesus used two things to describe people. He said, that's his disciples. He said, number one, you are the salt of the earth. Number two, he said, you are what? The light of the world. I said earlier about touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. I'm talking about the way God sees you. God sees the head. He doesn't see the tail. What does it mean to be the head? That is, blessings will come to wherever this one goes. That's what it means to be in authority. This one does, you see, let me tell you some spiritual things. You must first recognize it before you realize it. You hear what I said? You must first recognize it before it begins to affect you in reality. It's not that God will force you. The only way God forces you to understand is through teaching. That's why I'm glad you are here. Or if you are listening to this on tape, on video, on TV, I'm happy you took the time out to listen because this is the only way God will persuade you. Once he has persuaded you like this and you insist upon what he has said, you align your thoughts, then life begins to respond like that to you. You will choose a line of profession, then one day it will become lucrative. You cannot use what is lucrative or not to make a decision. That's a telling behavior. You can't be forcing yourself to do a job you are not gifted for, you are not blessing anybody, just because somebody told you it makes money. That's a telling behavior. Do you get the point I'm making? I use this illustration several times. One day, my mom and I were talking. She said, "How far with your private practice?" I said, "I don't do it anymore." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because ministry takes most of my time. So I can't afford the time. I have to live long." He said, "But ministry doesn't pay you money." I said, "So what shall we do?" I said, "So what are we going to do?" I said, "This is the reason why we were born." I told her that we cannot abandon the reason why God gave you, my mother, the power to conceive me. We can't abandon it just because we claim it does not make money. We can't. That's a head mentality. Many people are in ministry now because, you know, these days ministry is quite glamorous. Most pastors show up for preaching engagements in nice rides. They don't come down from bikes. Even if they didn't have a bike, they would take a special taxi for that day. Many years ago, if your sister tells you want to marry a pastor, you connect with your father not to agree. A lot of people are jumping into ministry now that have no calling. I'm sorry, I don't mean to insult anybody. Did I mention anybody's name? Uh-huh. Why? Because according to one man, there's good box in the gold racket. Yes. That's a tailored behavior. There are people in jobs that they don't like, they are not gifted for. The only reason they go, it makes money. I said to you on Tuesday, Daniel, remember I was ever Daniel? Okay, it was not here I said it. Okay, it was somewhere I went to preach. I think it was last week. No, on Monday. Okay, I went to preach somewhere on Monday also. I said, Daniel, when they say nobody should pray to any other God apart from the king, all right, for 30 days, that Daniel was so used to praying, he did not know when he started praying about the decree. I don't know whether I get my point. Yes, I believe that's what happened. It was when they arrested him, realized that, oh, okay, they say we shouldn't pray. So I said, listen, if normally you don't pray for 6 months, and they say don't pray to the king for 30 days, please don't pray for 30 days. I'm last 6 months, you did not pray, did you? So just join the extra 30 days of your previous 6 months. Nothing will happen to you. So on Tuesday here, I said that if suddenly you come into big money, you now want to go and start doing a business that you have never done before because you think it makes money, please, don't just bother. Use that money, travel, you know, eat, buy plenty of suya, you know. Eat it and finish it. And then relax. So when they say, what happened to the money? They say, we use it to eat. At least you can tell what happened to it. That if you go and do the business you have never done before, the money will still go away. And that time you will be angry. Is that not so? But literally, if you chop, you benefit, you travel, you go UK, you go Switzerland, you move to the US, you go to the Bahamas, you see the world. Then the money finishes. You say, what happened? You are a very useless man. I say, I know. At least I enjoyed my uselessness. But if you go and do a business you've never done before because it makes money, the thing will still go away. You are getting what I explain. Tails don't have a sense of purpose. They don't have a sense of destiny. They don't have any sense of commitment to any cause. They just want to get me. This is where it's happening. That's a tail. But when God sees you, this point I'm coming to, he doesn't see a tail. What does he see? A head. He sees somebody in authority. And when you accept, you start thinking like that, life starts responding to you like that. You will make up your mind, this is what I want to do. You know, I say it all the time. Nigeria of today, every good footballer makes a lot of money. Even if he's local, once he's very good. Once you can act, and you know how to smile for the screen, you will make money. True of us. But it wasn't like that many years ago, you know that. I was watching this man that does, I wasn't watching him, I just seen they just seen one of their plays. Wade Adenuga, the one that does the super story. Do you know how long that man has been doing that thing? The one I'm aware of, at least I'm certain of what I'm saying, is over 30 years. That one I'm sure of. Now, his soap operas, they don't only hit in Nigeria, they hit in Central and Eastern Africa. Yes. That is, these were people that went to school of cinematography those days. I'm looking at something here. I don't think he was the one that created the boom that suddenly came into that sector. He didn't create it. But when the boom came, it met him where it was supposed to meet him. That's what we'll discuss under the appointed time. Heads have that mindset. They have that mentality. Now, listen to me. It's an attitude. It's first and foremost what? An attitude. So that you recognize that, look, what God sees in me is what? A head. Therefore, what I see in myself is what? A head. I don't do what everybody is doing. I don't do what is, in quote, booming. If you're a minister, let me say it also. He don't just go and open a church because every man who they call Papa is very influential. When I started out in this ministry, a friend of mine said that, you're going to start a church? I said, it's not in the plan. He said, you must start a church. I said, why? He said, because without it, nobody will respect you. I said, sorry, I'm not here for respect. I'm here to teach. I told him straight, I'm not here for respect. I'm here to teach. A lot of people have gone into ministry for respect. The one that makes me like, I just like to say, because, you know, a lot of times people are listening to you are ministers. A lot of ministers. Now, if you're not a minister, forget what I want to say. It doesn't concern you. Don't judge anybody. Don't go around and say, Pastor Banky said that. Maybe this is why this guy is doing what he's doing. You're on your own. I'm not sending you to go to examine anybody. Examine yourself. So if you're not a minister, forget what I want to talk about. If I close your ears, start dreaming of your supper. All right? A lot of preachers say that God sent me to go and do this. But so that I will have money to do it, I will start a church that will be my base from where I will be getting money. A lot of people don't think about it, but let me just say categorically, it is wrong. That's why you are fighting over members. One rich man left your church and went somewhere else. He could have paid you because you opened that shop. Yes. To make some money. According to you, to do what God called you to do. He will say it's wisdom. It's not wisdom. That is the height of foolishness. Let me quickly add this one for those who are ministers. Listen. God did not say, preach to the whole world, to one person. Never. I said to us here before, what God says to you is, be faithful in every opportunity I give you. I don't know what I heard I said. God judges you by faithfulness in every opportunity. It's faithfulness in what? Every opportunity. What I mean is, if you have the vision to preach to the whole of Africa, you know how you execute that vision. You buy a big closet, enter it, lock it, and pray. Well, you don't have to buy the closet. What I just mean is that go inside and go and pray. And pray for Africa. And pray for doors to open to preach to the whole of Africa. And continue praying and praying. And when you come out, the only Africa you see to preach is a map you drew on the floor in your sitting room. Preach for that one. Do you understand my point? If all Africa you see are the two cousins of yours that visited from the village, preach to the Africans, are they not? Preach to those ones. Then from there, doors open to preach in Jerusalem. That's the town you are living in. Preach there. Then when you get back home, pray for Africa. Are you getting my point? And pray to God to open doors for Africa. God has not said to you, go and raise money to preach in the whole of Africa. I don't know what I heard I said. So it is wrong, crazy, mad, you know, absolute foolishness on your part to now say, let me open the church so I can raise money. If God doesn't send the money, don't go anywhere. Paul will write, say, I wanted to come and visit you, but we were hindered. Therefore, we use the money that's remaining to buy paper and pen. So I began to dictate this letter, and Timothy is currently writing. I don't know what I heard what I said. So Paul said, I wanted to visit you. There was no money, or the ports were closed, or something was wrong. I wasn't feeling too well at that particular point, so I decided to rest. But whatever be the issue, we're hindered. So we used the money that we'll have used to travel to buy paper and buy poster stamp So now this letter, you are receiving it because we could not come. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That's your duty. God judges you based on faithfulness in the opportunities that he gives you. Do you understand my point? What you do is you exercise yourself diligently in the opportunity that he gave you. Let me leave that. Yeah, just by the way, if you're a preacher, hear what I said. You got my point? It is not your job to be scheming. I heard a man say once, and they say, oh, I'm always talking about money. After what I would do with the money. Eh? It's not to preach, do the work of God. I said, this is foolishness talking. If you are always talking about money, you have a problem. Let's not justify the reason why you are always talking about money. You fundamentally have a problem. You want me to say it one more time? No, you heard it that first time. Let's leave it there. Are you getting my point? God has listen, it's his job. Paul plants, Apollos waters. God gives the increase. He rewards each man according to his labor. He does not reward anybody according to the number of people reached. I said to you before, you know, just want to say this again and again. All the one of when I get to heaven, I will hold the souls that I won for Christ and show to him that I tried. It's a lie. Nobody holds any soul in one hand to get to heaven and say, God, I did not come empty-handed. You are going to go empty-handed. Are you getting my point? You are going naked on top of that self. What am I saying? God doesn't reward you for the fruit. He gave the fruit. He rewards you for what? The labor. If you preach to 100,000 people and not one person gives his life to Christ, it's their problem, not your problem. Are you getting my point? And if you preach to nobody, but the tracts you had in hand, which you wanted to hoard, say, this one is my own. You put it in your pocket and three fell out. And three people picked them one by one and read them and revival broke out. And because of the tracts you held, 1 million people gave their lives to Christ. No, listen, you were unfaithful. You didn't give that tract to anybody. It fell down. Are you getting my point? You can't say, oh, but it was my track, people read. So three of you just follow me. I'm dying right now. So let's just go to heaven and I can show God what I brought for him. You didn't bring nothing. You are getting my point? So for that reason, you focus on the labor, in the opportunity that he gives you. Just need to settle down in the house of some people. All right, let's continue what I was saying. So God sees you what? As a head. He sees you as somebody in authority. He says you are the salt of the earth. You know what that means? You are not there to go and enjoy good things. You are there to go and make that which was bad good. It's a mindset. It's not, I don't believe it. NEPA is always failing. How can people live in that kind of country? That's telly talk. What did I call it? Telly talk. Because like I say all the time, you know, the road, when I first came to Enugu, the road between Enugu and Onitsha was very good. Toll gate, those is 45 minutes. Bah! You're there. But right now, the road is being repaired, but it's currently very bad. You understand my point? And the time you spend has doubled when you include number of checkpoints and all of that. But the interesting part is I have not for one day reduced the number of times I applied that road just because the road is bad. Why? Because the road is not my assignment. It's where I'm using the road to get to that's my assignment. Therefore, the spirit of a man bears his infirmities. All the bad road, I bear it. I've been on that road like 4 times the last 1.5 weeks. Because I had places to go. Are you getting my point? That's how heads reason. If I have people to bless, I don't say because where I want to bless them is not comfortable, I run away. Like I say all the time, do I carry the people I'm supposed to bless with me? Where they are. Look, Joshua was not meant to spend 40 years in the wilderness. Neither was Caleb. Because they believed God, right? But they did not enter one day ahead of the rest of Israel. Why? Because God gave life to Joshua to be a leader to Israel. Entering into the promised land, even though he believed first one day ahead of them, is pointless. So even though he believed, even though he did what was right and justly, he should enter the promised land. God didn't take him in one day and say, Joshua, look, you and Caleb, just pack your bag. Pack your bag. Come. You know, you believe you can take the giants? Don't worry. I will take all the giants, move them away. This is just your own place. No, he returned them to the camp with the rest of Israel. And they stayed with the rest of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness, even though they did not disbelieve God for 1 second. What was the reason? You're supposed to be a leader of these people. If I put in the promised land before them, you can't help them in the wilderness. So, boy, manage the wilderness for a short while. Just 40 years. I mean, what's 40 years amongst friends? And God proved that he was the one keeping them there. Because for 45 years, the strength of Caleb did not diminish one bit. His strength did not diminish one bit. But he didn't enter the promised land 1 day ahead of the rest of the people. Why? He was supposed to be a leader, a commander amongst the people. So he and Joshua had to endure. Therefore, Paul said to Timothy, you endure hardship as a soldier of Christ, a true soldier. That's the head thinking pattern. So when God sees, you know what he sees? A head. Like I said on Tuesday, please, if you're not around, get the message on Tuesday. Lot ran to where things were good. But Abraham was ahead. So even though things may not have appeared good initially, ultimately, he prospered much more than Lot prospered. In fact, when Lot was in trouble, he rescued Lot. You hear what I said? Let me prophesy to you again. One day you will rescue people that thought they were smart too. Yeah. I don't know what I heard. That is people who, those they thought they were smart. I told my wife something once. I said, mark my words. Mark my words. Because you see, my wife used to work in a bank when we first came to town. Worked there for a few years. Then after my son was born, she resigned and all of that. And you know, so I said to her, I said, mark my words. The same people you were working with, one day, they will call you and say, madam, how far now? Can you, that your guys need some cabal, you know, they call back cash balance. I say, oh, sorry, I can't do much now. I can only give you 100 million. I hope that's okay. I'll need my money within the next 6 weeks. So he said, madam, 100 million, we'll go manage that one. But that's not fair, shall we? I was talking to this guy the other day. He said, the last time you gave him 200 million. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, that people who thought that, what is wrong? These so young girls, they don't have sense. People who thought they were smart. I said, one day you will rescue them. That's what I'm making. One day, in fact, something led to you. I was talking to my wife today. I said, listen, one day you will pick your phone, you will call a regional manager and say, please, I'm in my office. Can you come or send two of your boys? It sounds crazy, Abby. You are too poor. That's why you don't understand. Yes. When you become rich, you know that's what rich men do. They don't get up. Get up for what? All those brand new Toyota Corollas. What is it for? It's not for coming to our offices. Come on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I'm coming. In the next one. I said, no. I need 15 minutes. Okay, let me send two of my deputies. Okay, all right, two. Come. Say, boys, please, you have to raise a draft for me, 1.5 billion. I need it now. We'll be negotiating rate. I said, no. If you insist on that amount, I call the regional manager of Zenith. Say, no, madam, don't call him. Okay, 1.5 billion. All right, the draft will be here by tomorrow. All right, 12 noon. Is that okay? And nobody is discussing collateral. Nobody is discussing anything. You just call power and authority. I don't know what I hear what I said. Because Lot must be rescued by Abraham. No matter how wise Lot thinks he is, one day Abraham will rescue him. Are you getting my point? One day you will rescue somebody. Amen. Because you are ahead. And listen, you must think like that. That's what all this is all about. Because that's what God sees. As Lot was going away, God looks, say, oh boy, Lot, this guy is coming to rescue you one day. Hold his phone number. Don't lose it, though. As they go towards Sodom and Gomorrah, hold his phone number. Not lose him. True. They gathered him in the time of war. He just ran to one corner, brought out his phone. Oga, your boy's in trouble. Abraham said, okay, I'm coming.